This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still moving and grooving here on this Mother's Day as we take you around the DMV, live and local on 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. We'll take you up to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Coming up in about a half hour or so, our pal Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network going to join us as we get you geared up for the NBA draft lottery tomorrow. Massive, massive day for the Washington Wizards as they have another opportunity to potentially really accelerate this rebuild. We'll talk about the Wizards in great detail before we get to our guy Chase. But, you know, if you followed the team throughout the regular season, I continue to say post-February 1, this group really turned a corner and you started to see an identity begin to be formed. And I think the head coach of this team, Brian Keefe, deserves so much credit. And I was a guy that was as critical of BK as anybody here in this market when they weren't playing well, because I go, well, if you're not playing hard, if you're not giving good effort, it falls at the feet of the head coach. Whatever he started saying, whatever he did post-February 1, whether it was the additions of Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton, there was a change in attitude and mentality for this Wizards team post-February 1. We'll see if the basketball gods reward their good faith effort in the second half of the season by having the ping pong balls bounce their way and they land the right to capture the flag. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I'm going to say this, though, about the NBA in general. See, there's a lot of scuttlebutt and conversation about, you know, people not being happy with the product that the NBA is putting on. And I think anybody that feels that way, anybody that's upset, not a fan of the product that the NBA is putting on, I totally understand. Totally understand. But the playoffs, if you've watched this NBA postseason, I think you feel what I feel. The competition level's ratcheted up. Two, I think the competitive spirit is there with these teams. And because, look, you know how it is in the postseason. Survive in advance, go hard or go home, shake a leg or lose one, however you want to describe it, right? And I say it every year when we get geared up for the playoffs, because the NBA is special like this. It's why, you know, it closely rivals the NFL as the most popular sport here in North America. If you do not meet expectations in the NBA playoffs, a lot of the times for certain teams, there will be massive consequences that follow. And I think with the eight teams remaining here in this postseason, Indiana, Cleveland, Oklahoma City, Denver, Golden State, Minnesota, Boston, and New York. I guess first and foremost, I can see any one of those eight teams, I can give you a scenario in which they win the finals. So I think that speaks to the competitive nature that exists in the NBA playoffs, and two, just how well those eight teams are built and constructed. The other thing is this, though. For some of those eight teams, and I really look at, Denver, I look at Boston, I look at New York, and I go, man, if you don't reach expectations, there will be seismic changes within your organization. You're already starting to hear some of the rumblings and the whispers with the Celtics about what happens if they do not advance, even if they are able to advance past the Knicks. If they can't advance to the finals, if they don't run it back, will that front office, will that ownership group be able to justify paying into the luxury tax? And the two guys that seem like they're on the outside looking in for Boston is Kristaps Porzingis, our old friend here in D.C., and Drew Holiday. You continue to hear, rumors of those two potentially being on the move this summer. For the Knicks as well, I said it before the series started, because first and foremost, the Knicks are the most confusing team in the NBA, and not confusing in a good way. First and foremost, very much thought they should have got bounced in the opening round versus the Detroit Pistons. Didn't think they played well enough to win that series. Detroit just happens to be a young, wet-behind-the-ear playoff team that doesn't have the veteran savvy and the necessary experience, I think, to win a playoff series. The leads that they blew was hard to watch. And then in this series for the Knicks, Boston in the first two games couldn't hit the wide side of a barn. They were historically bad from beyond the arc. Yet you found yourself down 20-plus in the first opening two games. I give a rat's ass about your mediocre comeback effort. I could care less. It's not sustainable. And you saw it last night. It's not like Boston was missing, hotly contested threes, tightly contested jump shots. No. Some of these looks were wide the hell open, and you saw it last night. Boston put up 71 in the first half. It's embarrassing. It's a playoff game. And I continue to say it about this Knicks team. It is by far the worst Tom Thibodeau-led defense I have seen since I followed basketball. They don't guard a parked car. They couldn't guard a traffic cone, which is part of the frustration that I know a lot of national folks were having about the Celtics and their affinity to take three-pointers. New York can't guard you off the bounce. Why are you settling for so many perimeter shots? I think you saw it last night, though. There are wide-open looks that they're getting, and they knocked them down, and you saw the way that that game went. I think it may be all she wrote for the New York Knicks. I can see a scenario where Boston rattles all four straight here and sends the old Knickerbockers packing. Now, what would that mean for New York moving forward? I don't know. Clearly, I've got a lot of venom towards Tom Thibodeau. And I say the same thing every time I speak about Tibbs. Tibbs is known for his defensive chops, right? That's a calling card of a Tom Thibodeau-led basketball team. You're going to play hard, you're going to defend your ass off. This Knicks team doesn't do it. And it's ironic because you have the personnel. Their wing trio of Josh Hart, OG Anunoby, and Mikal Bridges, defensively, probably the best. Boston's probably got something to say about it, but it's one of the best defensive trios in basketball. Yet this group doesn't defend. So it's really hard to come to grips with what we're watching with this bunch. Now, the bottom line is this. They're up 2-1. Boston's down 2-1. Same thing I said about the Caps and Hurricanes is what I will say here about the Knicks and Celtics. Down 2-1, if you're Boston, there is a sense of desperation that kicks in. Same sense of desperation they had going in to game number three, knowing, hey, we can't lose three straight and go down 3-0 to this team. We just can't. We don't care if they're at home. Desperation sets in, and you got to do what you got to do. You got to handle your business. I think Boston's going to have that same mentality going into game number four. And if you're the Knicks, you got to look at it the other way around. it's a must-win game for you, too. Because if you lose game number two, game number four, you give away the home court advantage that you earned. And that ain't right, right? That's not the goal here. So I'm not sure how this thing ultimately plays out. I would lean towards Boston getting things done, but I don't know, man. We'll see. The Celtics, I continue to describe them as like arrogant with their shot selection and their effort, especially yesterday. I get it, you up 25. Doesn't mean you got to, you know, completely disregard offensive possessions moving forward. Doesn't mean you have to not value the basketball and value, you know, shot making and things of that nature. It was kind of hard to watch. But they ultimately come away victorious. The second half of yesterday's doubleheader in the NBA was super interesting as well. I talk about can't fake desperation. The Warriors feel desperate without Stephen Curry. The Warriors feel desperate being without the greatest shooter in the history of the sport. To their credit, though, caught my Golden State. They needed other guys to step up yesterday in the absence of Steph Curry. They got just that. Playoff Jimmy comes to the forefront. He drops 33 points. Jonathan Kuminga, a postseason career high off the bench with 30. Yet you still lost by five. Like, that's the disheartening part. Great that you got, you know, good effort out of Kuminga and Jimmy Butler. That's the first thing I thought of when Steph goes down. How does Golden State generate offense? Well, you got your answer. Playoff Jimmy and Jonathan Kuminga. For those two to combine for 63 points and you still lose by five, you're in a bad spot. You're in a bad spot. Now, the positive thing that we saw, was the fact that Anthony Edwards, who had really struggled from the field to this point in the playoffs, he played well. That's the tough part. He dropped. Minnesota to me looks like a juggernaut. I think we're on a collision course for a Timberwolves and Nuggets Western Conference Finals. That's just how I look at it, and I look at Rudy Gobert and Naz Reid and some of the bodies that they can throw at the Joker, and I go, that makes it a very, very interesting series coming up here potentially. But for Anthony Edwards to be able to get going last night the way that he did was awesome. And then when we talk about that Knicks and Timberwolves trade that happened right before the start of the regular season, I feel like we consistently look at it through the lens of New York because they added Karl Anthony Towns, and you know it's great to see him paired up with Brunson. Julius Randle's been a godsend in this postseason for Minnesota. Triple-double last night, 24 points, 12 dimes, 10 rebounds. Like, that's big-time stuff. His defense, I thought, was really good. So Minnesota's going to be a tough team to deal with here, and it looks like maybe, just maybe, Anthony Edwards, maybe the next young star to get some hardware here in the NBA. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Touch on the Washington Wizards coming up here as Chase Hughes gets ready to join us at 11:30. When we get back, though, we'll look at the best and worst case scenario for the Wizards in the NBA draft lottery next. 1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL underscore BTP. Take you up to 1 p.m. Eastern time as we get you geared up for this Mother's Day here on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. In about 10 minutes, our pal Chase Hughes of the Mighty Metal Sports Network going to join us as we get you prepared for tomorrow's NBA draft lottery. A really, really big opportunity for the Washington Wizards as they try to move into the next stages and phases of their rebuild. As we've watched this NBA postseason, a team like Detroit, team like Indiana, teams that have rebuilt the proper way. Now, I don't the Pacers never really went through a full tank the way that Detroit did. But the Pistons, good example of, you know, tanking is a way to do it, but you have to land that franchise-altering talent, and that's what the Wizards hope they have the chance to do coming up tomorrow in the draft lottery. Now, everything you need to know about the draft lottery, we got you covered. The Wizards and the Jazz and the Hornets all have, you know, the equal odds to land the number one overall pick at 14%. As far as the top four odds, they all share the same top four odds as well, with a 52.1 chance to land a top four pick. If the Wizards land the number one overall pick, the assumption is that they will go with Cooper Flagg, the star-studded freshman, the Naismith National Player of the Year from this past year in college basketball. They will go with him and pair him next to Alex Saar, and you all of a sudden are seeing the makings of a very elite defensive front court. Now, if they don't land the number one pick, this is where things get interesting to me. Because I genuinely am, like, fearful of them not landing this number one pick. I said a moment ago, I hope the basketball gods reward their good faith effort in the second half of the season and have the ping pong balls bounce Washington's way. You all know the story of Victor Wembanyama and what happened a couple of years ago when he was in the lottery. He was the big breadwinner and the sweepstakes winner, so to speak. Wizards were one ping pong ball away from landing Victor Wembanyama, and it would have changed the course of this franchise forever. You now have the same opportunity here with Cooper Flagg. If they don't get the number one pick, and let's say they land the number two overall pick, you would have to assume they go with Rutgers point guard Dylan Harper, son of NBA champion Ron Harper. And with Dylan Harper, 6'6", can boogie, right? James Harden is the comparison. And I think a lot of times when we make these comparisons, sometimes they're quite lofty. I don't think that's the case at all with Dylan Harper. When you think about his ability to create for himself and others, you think about the positional size that Will Dawkins and company value in that Wizards front office, he checks every single box, point blank. So, not a bad consolation prize to Cooper Flagg ending up with Dylan Harper. The one thing about selecting Dylan Harper that intrigues me is what does that do for the future of a Jordan Poole, a Bub Carrington, and A.J. Johnson? Now, Dylan Harper is a better prospect coming out than Bub Carrington was, obviously. Dylan Harper a better prospect than A.J. Johnson was coming out. Dylan Harper a better prospect than Jordan Poole. But he's got to earn it, right? Jordan Poole had a career year last year and showed that he is very much a part of this core moving forward. At just 25 years of age, you've got to look at him that way. How does Dylan Harper change the dynamic in the Wizards' backcourt? That's what my big question is if they land the number two overall pick, is how does it change the dynamic of your backcourt? Does it permanently slide Bub Carrington to the bench? I don't know. I would assume so, right? Because let's just think of potential starting lineups. You know Jordan Poole's a starter. So if you draft Dylan Harper, your backcourt's probably Jordan Poole and Dylan Harper. Bilal Coulibaly at your small forward spot. Keyshawn George at your power forward spot. And then Alex Saar at the five. Now, probably ends up being Chris Middleton at the four over Keyshawn George, but we'll see what happens this summer and whether or not they're able to move that veteran contract. The Wizards also have the number 18 overall pick as well. So two chances to add some high-quality young cats to this mix here. Now, the Dylan Harper thing is interesting. I tweeted it out, but I deleted it in real time because I got some sound advice from my pal Chase Hughes that you probably shouldn't tweet that. Ron Harper, the father of Dylan Harper, quote tweeted a story from David Aldridge of The Athletic a couple of months ago. And DA, the dean of all DC sports, DA was writing about the Wizards and their tank job. Ron Harper quote tweeted it. Ron Harper, father of Dylan Harper, projected number two pick. He quote tweeted it and basically poo-pooed on the Washington Wizards front office, saying that he would not allow Dylan to come here. And I think throughout this pre-draft process, and as Dylan was going through his season this past year at Rutgers, there were teams that Ron Harper alluded to saying, hey, look, you know, not everywhere is for my son. I would pay to know how he views this Wizards front office, because let's just be honest about it. Last year, Alex Saar bypassed the Atlanta Hawks to get to Washington. He was the number one prospect in the class. He didn't want to go to Atlanta. He wanted to come to Washington. He is not nearly the prospect that Dylan Harper is. He does not have nearly the clout nor cachet that Dylan Harper has as a prospect. If Dylan Harper wants to bypass a team, guess what's going to happen? He's going to bypass said team. So I just hope that there's not any ill will, you know, towards this franchise from Ron Harper. And I would say his comments were off base anyway. If you wanted to make comments and negative thoughts and had negative thoughts about the previous regime, the front office led by Ernie Grunfeld or the front office led by Tommy Shepard, have at it, right? More power to you. This current front office, spearheaded by Mike Winger, Will Dawkins, Travis Schlenk, they ain't to be played with. They've done a tremendous job since they've gotten here. And of all the teams that are rebuilding and tanking, the Wizards clearly have the most upside and have the brightest future. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll continue our thoughts on the Washington Wizards coming up on the other side of the break. Our pal Chase Hughes joins the program next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot more to get to, about an hour and change left to go in the program before we hand things off. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham right here on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. You can keep the conversation going with me off air. It is at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P on all social media platforms. Just finished wrapping up. Pretty interesting conversation surrounding the Washington Wizards and the potential, you know, outcomes that they could have tomorrow at the NBA draft lottery. We will expound upon that right now as we go to the Rude Guest Hotline, where we find our pal Chase Hughes, who covers the Wizards for the Monumental Sports Network. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at Chase DC Sports. Chase, I appreciate you making some time for us, man. A special thank you to Mrs. Hughes for letting you be available for us here on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to her.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Yes, indeed, my friend. First of all, loved you. Was it last weekend? You roaming the sidelines during the Capitol Classic. You a bad mamma jamma.
That's right.
You a bad mamma jamma.
Appreciate
it. I always love that. A real cool opportunity to get to watch, you know, some of those guys, and you'll get to follow them throughout their collegiate career, and hopefully, you know, some of them end up here in Washington, the talented ones, as we take a look at the draft lottery tomorrow, Chase. I continue to describe it as the next biggest part and phase of this Wizards rebuild, because you know it as well as I do, Chase. If you can land a franchise-altering talent via the draft, it for damn sure accelerates your rebuild. The best case scenario, obviously, Chase, is Cooper Flagg at the number one overall pick. If they land the number two overall pick, Chase, is it? Do you assume it's Dylan Harper?
At this point, yeah, that would be my expectation. I think Dylan Harper is a really good prospect. Yeah. I think he's got just as good of a chance to be a superstar at the next level as Cooper Flagg does. I think if Dylan Harper was in the draft last year, he would have gone 1-1. He would have been the first overall pick. For those out there who don't know who Dylan Harper is, he's the son of Ron Harper, who won a bunch of rings with the Bulls, playing next to Michael Jordan, and then in L.A. playing next to Kobe Bryant. Yes. So he comes from basketball royalty. And yeah, he's like 6'6". He's built like a football player, but he's got an extremely quick first step. So the size, speed, and strength combination is just absolutely lethal. No one can stay in front of him. And he's pretty good at finishing around the rim once he gets there. He's not, you know, the most athletic guy in the draft in terms of his explosive leaping ability. But some of that stuff, I think, can be overrated a little bit at the NBA level. If you look back at the combine, the guys who jumped the highest aren't the best NBA players. A lot of them don't even stick around.
Yeah.
And if you look at a lot of the best players in the league, it's more about their skill rather than how high they jump. So I think Dylan Harper, you know, if I was to throw a player comparison out there, a lot of people have said James Harden and Cade Cunningham because he's a big guard.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just because he's 6'6" and he's so good at getting into the paint. No one in the league is better at that than SGA is.
Yeah, I totally agree. It would be a win for sure if Washington could land either Flagg or Harper. In the case of if they land the number three overall pick, Chase, I'm looking at ESPN.com and their insider piece from our pal, you know, Jonathan Givony and Jeremy Wu. They have the Wizards taking VJ Edgecombe with the number three overall pick, if that is the pick that they should land. How does he influence what Washington already has in the backcourt with some young, intriguing prospects, including Bub Carrington, A.J. Johnson, Jordan Poole?
I think he would fit in really well with what they've been doing. And I sort of cautiously use the word fit because I think if you're drafting this high, you just take the best player available. But they are trying to build their defense first, and he is an extraordinary defensive prospect. About 6'4". He's a sort of a combo guard. I would say the most explosive athlete in the draft in terms of his speed and his athleticism around the rim. And he averaged like 3 steals a game last year at Baylor. I mean, you can't go to Baylor unless you defend.
Yeah.
And he is a terrific guard defender. I would compare him to like a Jalen Suggs who plays in Orlando, who his injury this year really derailed their hopes. He's a really good defensive player, all defensive guard. So I think VJ Edgecombe could be like that. And so he defends. He's super athletic. I think he's going to interview well. I've watched some interviews with him. He's a smart guy. He's really confident. Seems like he's very competitive. So he seems to have sort of the mental makeup that they look for. I guess one question would be, how tall is he? They really like positional size.
Yeah.
So if he measured in, you know, shorter than expected, maybe that would affect some things. But in terms of the profile, he fits as a player, a defensive athletic player. He checks off a lot of boxes for the Wizards.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we had a couple of highlight reel dunks from Bilal Coulibaly this past year. We'll be getting those on the regular from VJ Edgecombe. He is a very explosive and dynamic athlete. Chase, if the Wizards land the number four overall pick, ESPN says they should go with Ace Bailey, the other star-studded freshman from the University of Rutgers. Good positional size, but he's another guy too, Chase, that I think the NBA combine is going to matter a lot for him. Is he a true 6'10", or is he 6'8"?
Right. I think that's going to be a question mark. You know, I saw him play. I don't think he's 6'10". It looked like he was a little bit shorter than Juju Reese playing against Maryland. Juju Reese is about 6'9". So either way, if he's 6'8", that's plenty of size for what he does. You know, he's a terrific outside shooter. I'd compare him to kind of a Brandon Miller, but Brandon Miller was a little bit older coming into the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey reclassified. He's a little bit younger. He started, I think he turned 18 in August, so he should have been a high school senior. So he's just not as developed as a guy like Brandon Miller was coming out of Alabama. But obviously Miller is one of the better young scorers in the league. So if he can develop into that type of talent, then you're talking about a really dynamic wing. So I think Ace Bailey would be in the conversation there. And I think it would probably, also come down to what they think about Trey Johnson of Texas, mm-hmm. who's kind of similar to Ace Bailey. He's a little bit shorter. He's about 6'6". He might be more of a Devin Booker type in the sense that he's a 2, and Ace Bailey's probably a 3/4 who's good at rebounding, pretty good defensive player. But those guys are both essentially score-first wings, big wings. And so I think if you're picking fourth, you're probably trying to split hairs between those two.
It's going to be uber fascinating. This is like, I'm honestly getting giddy, Chase. I don't know if you can hear my smile
love the
through
NBA
the
draft,
mic.
Man. Every year.
Yes, it's the best time of the year, especially with this organization. Knowing what they did post-February 1, Chase, I keep saying it, I feel like the basketball gods are going to reward their good faith effort in properly tanking, I guess is what we're going to call it. You saw that competitive nature really pick up post-trade deadline, and they were, you know, uber competitive down the stretch, although the wins did not stack up. The one, you know, conundrum that I keep thinking about, Chase, and I know the old adage is you just keep adding good talent. You're starting to, if you get another guard in the mix here, you're starting to have like a positional logjam here. And Will Dawkins said it at the end of season presser. They've got some decisions that they're going to have to make. And I know they've challenged each guy to come back better. So that ultimately will make those decisions easier as well. But it's hard for me to ask you this question. It feels like, is there an odd man out in this thing? And I'm really talking about Marcus Smart. Like, if they add another young guard to this core, where do minutes come for Marcus Smart? And does he become, you know, a premier trade piece for a contending team?
Well, I think it depends on the guard. If they add VJ Edgecombe, who's a defensive player, probably play a similar role to Marcus Smart, then the Wizards would have to decide, okay, can we get enough minutes out there for Edgecombe, or do we have to move off Smart? Or would Marcus Smart be a great influence on a guy like VJ Edgecombe,
right,
who is, you know, a scrappy guard defender who, you know, you'd probably have a very tough time finding someone who could be a better influence on a guy like Edgecombe than Marcus Smart would be. You know, if it is Dylan Harper, he's more of a score first, you know, have the ball in his hands type guard. I don't think that would overlap too much with Marcus Smart. In fact, you could argue that Marcus Smart would be the perfect guy to play next to a Dylan Harper. Ideally, someone would be able to stretch the floor, but if you feel like, you know, Dylan Harper isn't a great defender and you want him to focus on offense, then you could have Marcus Smart sort of balance things out and still have, you know, a defensive impact at the guard position. So those are the things they'll have to go through, but there's no question there's going to be domino effects with whatever pick they make because of where they are in their rebuild and how high they're picking. They're going to pave the way for that player to play, but a lot of guys on the roster, it's probably not going to be as easy for them to earn the roles that they had last year. I think at some point competition comes into play, and sort of the ruthless nature of professional sports becomes a factor where, you know, you got to earn your role. And if you don't, then, you know, you might be the odd man out. So I think all those things could start to happen, and we could start to see sort of a different approach to their rotation moving forward. Because at some point, you know, you're going to start seeing the cream rise to the top.
Yeah, 100%. Real quick, as we take a look ahead at the incumbent guys that are slated to return, Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Sarr, Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, how many of those guys do you expect to play in the Las Vegas Summer League of their young pups?
As of now, we didn't get an opportunity to ask Will Dawkins at his exit interview, end of season press conference. But as of now, I expect all of them except for Bilal to play. It's not common for a guy to play in his third year. That's usually reserved for people, you know, who haven't gotten off to the greatest start in their career. So I don't think Bilal will play. But I do expect Alex Sarr, Keyshawn George, and Bub Carrington to play. And the reason why is because that's how they operated in Oklahoma City. And right after the introductory press conference from Michael Winger and Will Dawkins, I asked Will Dawkins that question. I was like, you know, coming up with the Summer League, I've noticed the Thunder always have their players play a second year, even when they're all rookie. And so, you know, you've noticed over the years, Oklahoma City's had some absolutely stacked teams in Las Vegas. Like at one point they had Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, and Josh Giddey after Giddey, I think, made all rookies. So they were loaded. Like they might have, you know, beaten some of the actual NBA teams that were in the league. And what he said was really interesting. He said that's a philosophy there, and it goes all the way back to when they had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. Those guys played a second year in the summer league. And after that, it was very easy to convince a young player to play in it because it was like, well, Kevin Durant did it. Why can't you?
Right.
So I assume, barring something unforeseen, he'll apply that same philosophy because it was just about 2 years as of the day that he said that was the plan for the Wizards now that he was their GM.
Chase, I told you, I've been stacking the coins in my piggy bank. I'm making my Vegas debut this summer, brother.
Oh, okay.
There we go. I told you last year.
We'll be
I
happy
to get
have
out
you
there.
Out there.
For sure, man. I appreciate
it. Have you had In-N-Out Burger before?
I have not. And I know you're a food connoisseur, by the way. I feel like it's a low-key, sneaky, good character trait that you got. You know good eats, Chase Hughes. I give you that. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, Vegas is not an easy town to crack in that regard. It's a lot of chains and, like, extremely expensive, like, prefix menu restaurants. But I am a fan of In-N-Out. Some people say it's overrated. I like it. I'd be interested to hear your opinion on it.
I'm about to say, hopefully we get to make that happen this summer, my man. Look, I appreciate you making some time. Once again, happy Mother's Day to your significant other and the women in your life, my brother. I appreciate you as always, man. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely, man. Same to you. Thank you.
That is Chase Hughes, the absolute best, talking all things Washington Wizards. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Chase DC Sports. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we kind of got into it. We'll re-rack it here again. Some of the scenarios that the Washington Wizards can have entering the 2025 draft lottery that is tomorrow. If they land the number one overall pick, we know that Cooper Flagg is going to be the guy. If they land the number two overall pick, it's probably, you know, Dylan Harper. Three, Edgecombe. Four, Bailey. What happens if the Wizards drop to number six? Touch on those scenarios next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Big thank you to our guy Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network. Joining us in the last segment, if you missed any of that conversation, you are in luck. Download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to 11:30 to hear my conversation with Chase Hughes. About an hour and change left to go here in the program. A lot more to get to before we hand you off to our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. Speaking of the Washington Nationals, not so good news for the Washington Nationals. This is via Jesse Camerato reporting that the Nationals' number two prospect, Yarlene Susanna, has a grade one UCL sprain. Is going to be shut down from throwing for at least the next 2 weeks. So that is not a good sign for the young pup as he was, you know, starting to get a groove. I think at a certain point when this team is ready to compete, you know, he may be one of the key figures in his bullpen. Kid just throws absolute gas. So super interested to see when he eventually gets called up to the majors. But when you have a UCL sprain and you're a little bit nicked up, that obviously slows down your major league progression. So That's via Jesse Camerato of MLB.com. So we'll see. We will see. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Wizards have the NBA draft lottery tomorrow. Top odds at the number one overall pick. Top odds at a top four guaranteed pick. The lowest Washington can ultimately pick is six. We went through the scenarios if they land a pick in the top four. It's either Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, VJ Edgecombe, or I think Trey Johnson, you know, probably falls into that bucket as well. The 6'6 guard from Texas. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Where does Washington go if they land the number six pick? Right? Their top five guys, Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, VJ Edgecombe, Trey Johnson. The next highest rated player, right? You start to get into that range of Jeremiah Fears out of Oklahoma. And Fears is another one of those guards that could come in here and help kickstart you and be your lead guard. I just don't know what the Wizards would prefer there. The kid out of Duke, the big man, and I don't want to mispronounce his name, but you all know who I'm talking about, the young man from South Sudan, 7'2", 250-pound. Watching him pre-draft and watching him do some of the combine stuff, he's working on an outside shot. The kid is skilled, and he's a fluid athlete. Imagine having him and Alex Saar playing next to each other in the front court. Like, that really intrigues me. You want to talk about a group that really struggled to control the defensive glass last year. If you land the number six overall pick, that's why I feel like the Wizards are in a great situation no matter what. Because they can't fall out of the top six, I would be okay with any of the six guys that they could take. The question is, and the concern is, in order for this rebuild to peak and to get over the top, so to speak, you need that franchise-altering talent. I continue to believe that, man. You need a guy that can come in and change the trajectory of your team. I don't know if the big man out of Duke is that. Right? Like with Trey Johnson out of Texas, he can hoop. I don't know if he is that, so to speak, if that makes sense what I'm saying here. I don't know if he is a franchise-altering talent. The two guys that I know for sure come in here and change the trajectory of your team right away, Dylan Harper and Cooper Flagg. I feel that way. Plenty of conviction behind my thoughts with them. The other cats is where it starts to get interesting. And then it also comes down to, like, who they prefer, right? Like, there's a preference here by this Wizards front office. We know what type of guys they're looking for because they've had two drafts here now. Positional size matters. Defense matters. The ability to stretch the floor. They've got two first-round picks. This is where it could get interesting. Honestly, I think the more and more I think about it, there's a formula almost, a cocktail of draft picks that I want them to come away with. Obviously, if you don't land Cooper Flagg, if you don't get the number one pick, or if you get the number one pick, rather, you take Cooper Flagg and all bets are off. But I want to see them add a player in the front court. I also want to see them add a player on the wing or in the back court as well. The front court player is interesting because when their second round pick, that's sort of that range where you can see them take a guy. We know their affinity for these French kids. There is a French cat, and I am blanking on the pronunciation, but 6'10", 200 pounds, can stretch the floor, plays defense. A young man that is just 18 years of age, right? Like, that's a cat at pick number 18 if he's there. And I doubt he will be because I think he's slowly shooting up these draft boards because of his size. That's a guy I would go with potentially. Danny Wolf out of Michigan really intrigues me. When you think about his ability to stretch the floor, when you think about the positional size that he has at 7 feet tall. Like, that interests me. Asa Newell out of Georgia, 6'11", 220. A guy that I think also has the ability to be able to stretch the floor and also help you out on the glass. Like, that's what you're really looking at here with their second, you know, first-round pick. Worst comes to worst, though. I think they're in a good spot. If they land at 6 and then they pick at 18, I think you end up getting two really good players. Don't look now, folks, but it says here on ESPN.com that, you know, they expect the Wizards to, quote-unquote, play the draft lottery again next year. depending on what two draft picks they bring in here, it may be a lot more competitive next year than maybe we are all anticipating. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. The final hour of power as we get you geared up for our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. It is the series finale between the Nats and the Cardinals. Big Mac, Mackenzie Gore on the bump for Davey Martinez's squad. It is a 1:35 first pitch pregame coverage. It's going at 1:05 right here on the Fan. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will switch over to the National Football League. The Washington Commanders had their rookie minicamp practice over the weekend. We'll let you hear from the head coach of the Commanders, Dan Quinn, here in this final hour. That's next here on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.